My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of the Good, the Bad, and the Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines, and we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voices of Wrestling Network.
Hi, I'm Case Lowe, co-host of the Open the Voice Gate podcast. The one question I'm constantly asked when it comes to Dragon Gate is how do I get into the promotion? Well, stop asking and start listening to the Open the Voice Gate podcast, released every Wednesday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. For exclusive news and show reviews, look no further than the leader in Dragon Gate coverage, Open the Voice Gate.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Looking for something new? Try fencing, the Olympic and Paralympic sport that mixes speed, strategy, and fun. It's like chess meets cardio. Quick feet, quick decisions, and a satisfying beep when you score a point. Kids, teens, and adults can start anytime. No experience needed, and many clubs have loaner gear. Coaches teach fundamentals and safety from day one. Find a beginner class near you at usafencing.org/tryfencing. That's usafencing.org/tryfencing.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Welcome to Jumping Bomb Audio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. My name is Taylor, and we have reached the end of another year of Jumping Bomb Audio, the end of another year of the world's time, and there's no one I would rather be doing that with than with my very good friend and co-host, Kelly. Kelly, happy December.
Happy December. Would you like some eggnog or hot cocoa?
I do love a hot cocoa. I also realize I wish you happy December, even though the last episode we recorded was also in December. But it can still be a happy December.
You didn't say happy December that time, and I've been stewing on that all this time.
Yeah, you were not happy.
Yeah, I just keep thinking, I'm like, how did he not wish me a happy December? Didn't he know the calendar flipped? It was a new month?
Yeah, I'm so sorry. But I'm glad that we've righted the wrong.
Yes.
And that you're not going into the holidays like a Grinch.
And we did it in front of all these people. The apology was as loud as the disrespect.
Well, we have reached the end of the year, so it is time again for our year in review show. We're going to be talking all about the best of the year, the best matches, the best wrestlers. As always, following the Wrestling Observer categories here, same categories as always. Kelly, I believe that there is not a new category, but a returning category.
There was going to be a new category, but I forgot to add it.
All right. I think last time you promised a new category.
All right, so fine. We'll do it right now.
People may be tuning out.
The Paul Triple H Levesque Award for Best Retirement
goes to.
It's got to go to Meiko Satomura. She had a good retirement.
Great. All right. So I never remember what order we do these in. I think we start at the bottom, right?
That seems right.
I mean, not the very bottom,
because the very bottom is the one we save for the end.
Yes, of course. I always forget. I really should go back and listen to our previous episode where I'm sure I'm saying the same exact thing as I'm saying now. But it's once a year and I forget, and that's fine. I mean, we're going to do these in whatever order we feel like.
Yeah.
And you'll enjoy them.
Yeah. Buckle right? up.
We do. So we'll do all the individual categories and then we'll do match. Or we'll do individual categories match and then the top awards.
Yeah, I think so. That makes sense.
Whatever. All right, let's dive into it. But before we do, of course, we have to do the plugs. Follow us on Blue Sky at J Bomb Audio. Follow Kelly at Comic Geek Kelly. You can follow me at Tay Mainbow over on Blue Sky. Subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice. And if that app of choice is Apple Podcasts, we would really appreciate a 5-star rating and review. And if you're feeling extra generous, you can donate to the show at redcircle.com/shows/jumping-bomb-audio. All right, so let's get into it. These are, I would say, probably the more minor categories, although we're sort of starting off with a big one for individual awards. The first category is Best Booker. Kelly and I have the same pick, although Kelly, I can't even really think of another candidate.
No, there's no one. Like, this year was not great for Joshi booking outside of the winner.
Yeah, it was an interesting year looking back, putting these lists and things together. A really interesting year in that I think, obviously, the story of the year, and maybe spoiling a future award or two, sort of the story of the year was the rise, the continued rise, I guess you'd call it, of Stardom, at which I felt like went really well. But looking back at the year, I felt like it was a good year, but not a memorable year.
Yes, I would completely agree with that.
I think probably 5 years from now, there is not the thing in my... I mean, there's probably one thing in my mind, which we'll talk about, but there is not really much in my mind of, oh, this year was defined by some, you know, a happening, a match, but anyway, that sort of gives it away. Best Booker, Taro Okada, voted by both Kelly and I. Although, Kelly, you have added a slight addendum to your pick.
Yes, mine says in, and Tom? Question mark? Because the rumors have been that she's helping in the booking. I don't know if that's true, but you know what? Sure. If she is, she's doing a good job.
I think also Kota at for Tokyo Joshi, I think could probably be a contender. It's always a bit odd because it never feels like that booking is complete. So it always feels like it can fall off a cliff at any moment and you'd be like, oh, actually, never mind. I feel like had a strong year. I'll talk about this more in the Flair Thez vote, but I think has a strong year. I'm really interested to see Tokyo Joshi's 2026 because I think for the first time it feels like they've set something up with someone outside of sort of the core, you know, Miyu Yamashita, Yuka, Shoko, sort of that grouping of people that feels like it is catching on in some way with Miyu. You know, her drawing numbers are pretty solid. Not sure if that means that will continue and not sure how much longer she'll have the belt. But it is interesting, but it is a thing where in a year I could see us looking back and being like, ah, actually all those things we thought that were set up never happened. So negative credit to that. But I mean, really stardom is the story of Joshi in 2025 to me. And absolutely. So who's booking that? Okada has to be the pick for me.
The true rainmaker.
Next, I'm going to skip. And I'm telling Kelly this so he knows where we're going. And we're going to go to Rookie of the Year.
Okay.
Another category where Kelly and I had the same pick. And Kelly, I have to say, if this person did not exist, I'm not entirely sure who I would have voted for.
Yeah, for me, she came to mind immediately, and then I was like, you know what? Even if she's not eligible, I don't care.
I think by technicality, she is not eligible. I don't remember what the exact Wrestling Observer cutoff is in the previous year. I think it might be November.
Okay,
but I'm not sure. This person debuted at the end of October in 2024, and frankly, because I couldn't think of anyone else, this is the person we're picking. Not a super year for rookies. There was a couple people who I probably could have thrown on here, but I don't really think they're, you know, rookie of the year, like Ren Kanatsu. I often watch her wrestle and I'm like, ooh, she's got a lot of potential. I don't think she's anywhere near rookie of the year contention.
Yeah.
For me, like, she's got a lot of potential. She seems good, but she hasn't done anything.
Now, another contender could be her name escapes me at the moment, but the tiny goblin girl from Tokyo Joshi.
The tiny goblin girl?
Yeah, the one that teams with Mei sometimes.
Oh, yes. But she's not a rookie.
Is she not? Okay.
Uda?
Yeah.
I think, didn't she debut in 2023?
Fuck, I have no idea. Time is meaningless.
Oh, no, she debuted in March of 2024, so yeah, she is not.
Okay, yeah,
very much not in consideration.
I have no idea who started wrestling this year, and I'm really glad that Senka is.
But that's what I'm talking about. I was, like, looking up all these people. I'm like, nope, May of 2024. I'm like, this person's out.
Yeah.
But the pick, Kelly just said, Kelly, I'll let you say it again. You sort of said it right there, but the pick is
I spoiled it. Senka Akatsuki.
I mean, I think the obvious pick sort of took the world by storm this year. Certainly deserving of awards, felt like someone who, even as a rookie, went into, you know, a promotion like Marigold and felt like it gave them a little kick.
Yes. One of the biggest stars coming out of WrestleMania weekend.
Yeah, feels like someone who, as we said, are they in the technical limitations of the award? No. But if not, they're close enough that, look, they're still very young. They are deserving of an award. Felt like a big year for them. So I think someone who really fits the Rookie of the Year category.
Scattergory.
Yeah. I was trying to say categorization, and I couldn't get it out. Looking forward to see what she does next, but yeah, very strong year. I think probably if you were to think of the top 10 quote-unquote storylines, and I'm not talking about like in-promotion storylines, but like the big things of 2025, like Senka might be in that top 10.
I would say so, yeah.
So very deserving of the award. The next category we will do is best major show. For this category, we each pick three winners for this category. So Kelly, we will start with you with your number three pick.
My number three is Sendai Girls Mako Satomura, the final from April 29th. This was just a great retirement show. It had all the kind of heartwarming fun that you get in these retirement shows. It also had a bunch of good matches in the back half with Mako's retirement match and then her like extra bonus retirement match with the handicap where she was teaming with Aja Kong. So it was just a very fun, enjoyable show. So I had to put it at my number three spot.
My number three was Grand Princess 25 from Tokyo Joshi Pro Wrestling. I think just a strong top end of that card that had the Mako Satomura match on it as she was approaching retirement. Had the little bit disappointing Willow Nightingale Miyu Watanabe match, which was solid, but not blow away. But then the top three, Suzume Endo, 1-2-1 million versus Hyper Masao and Shoko Nakajima and Mizuki and Rika Tatsumi for the title. Three really strong top of the card matches. I usually like to get one of these big Tokyo Joshi shows on this list because I always think they're really enjoyable, and I think this was the best of 2025. Kelly, your number two.
My number two, I was kind of hemming and hawing about including it because, you know, the phrasing of best major show. And I don't know if this counted as a major show, but seeing as what they drew, I think it does count. It is the Natsupoi and Sierra No Produce 10th anniversary show that drew far better than I think anyone anticipated and was a great show. Top to bottom, I had a great time with this one. I thought it was a very fun show, and that goes a long way for me. if you can make an enjoyable show all the way through, hell yeah, sign me up.
Kelly, I think if it feels major to you, it's a major show.
Yeah, so I think you're right.
I count it. I have no, yeah. My second pick, Kelly had it at number three. I had it at number two, was Mako Satomura, the final. I think just a really enjoyable show. You know, I don't think it's a top to bottom, like everything was blow away show, but I don't think that these type of shows really need to be that.
No.
And I think that it was really well done. I mean, very meaningful, probably not going to have many a retirement show that is this big, probably for a number of years at least. Just felt big, you know, saying goodbye to someone who's been such a force in Joshi. I think I talked about it when we reviewed the show on this show. Watched it with my girlfriend, who also really enjoyed the show, not really knowing anything about Joshi. Because I think it has that sort of universal, like, retirement aspect, but was really great to see, and so that was my number two pick.
Who do you think would be the next wrestler that like would retire that could have a show that feels like this?
I mean specifically
Joshi, of course, because it's like, you know, Tana's retiring soon, like obviously that's going to be a big, but like my first thought was Ozaki.
Yeah, Ozaki is a good one. I mean, like Jaguar Yokota,
yeah,
who I think will never retire, who is going to, like, you know, turn to dust in the ring one day, and that will be the end of it.
Aja Kong.
Aja Kong.
That'll be a big one.
I mean, but then you start talking about, like, current generation people, where, you know, it's like, does Io Shirai come back for a retirement show? And even that, it's like she's been gone. You know, I know obviously she's still a draw, but, and you know, I guess Mako was gone for a while, but it would probably have to be like Mayu,
yeah,
in that generate, like that would be a big one. But I don't, like, is Mayu gonna wrestle for another 15 years?
I could easily see, I could see Mayu going away to America for a while and then coming back.
Like, I would not be surprised. I mean, Mayu's only 32, which I always forget because I'm like, oh, I've been watching her forever, so she must be like 39. And she's only 32, so I'm like, in 13 years, she'll still only be 45.
Yeah.
You know, and she has a style that's a little bit more, this is not the right word, but youth based, you know, it's sort of a higher pay, you know, Ozaki is not dependent on like running around and doing flips. So it's like, okay, she can wrestle at 57 and be pretty okay. You know, does Mayu do that? Does Mayu become a more something else wrestler and wrestle for another 20 something years? Maybe. But yeah, I think Ozaki, Aja Kong, Jaguar Yokota. I'm trying to think. There's probably a couple other ones, but even those would probably be smaller. Because if we're not like, think like Mako when she was wrestling and we were like, what would have been, what will be a big retirement? Like Mako is like top of the mind. Like, yep, this will be big. So if we're not thinking of it off the top of our head, it's probably not that big.
Yeah, I think out of people that are still active, it's got to be Aja Kong.
Yeah, I mean, Aja will be big. Also, the fact that she's wrestled.
Yeah.
You know, Ozaki will be big. She's been around for a while, but she's largely Oz Academy exclusive. Mm-hmm. Largely. I mean, Aja wrestles almost everywhere.
Yeah.
You know.
I could see her doing like a sumo hall for her retirement show.
I mean, I don't know. Now that, you know. And she's younger than Ozaki. I'm trying to look now how many. I mean, her. Well, she might beat it. Her 2024, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 18, 19. 23 different promotions.
Jeez.
In 2024. And she's at 23 promotions this year. So if she's got to go wrestle in where hasn't she wrestled? Go to GCW.
There we go. Yeah.
I'm trying to see like what's a promotion that she could.
Dotonbori Pro.
She hasn't wrestled for Wave this year. Get her in Wave.
Yeah.
That's an easy one. So. Yeah, but I mean, a big show. So that's why that's my number two show. More of an emotional thing than a strictly in-ring feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Your number one?
We both have the same number one. It's going to be Stardom's All-Star Grand Queendom 2025 from April 27th. Like you can't not go with this one. This show is stacked. It's like looking at it just top to bottom, such a crazy card. They really threw everything they had at this and it drew great. You got the Mako match. She's worked on here. You have the no DQ match between Macier and Suzu Suzuki. Sendai Girls world title match. The tag title match was awesome. Mayu versus Siri. And was that Mayu's final match in Stardom? I'm looking at the card. I don't even know if she did lose that one, so I don't know. Maybe you had a crazy Starlight Kid Izumi match, and of course the main event, career versus career, Kamatani defeating Tom match, which is incredible. So it's like, yeah, this absolutely had to be the show of the year.
That was Mayu's last match in Stardom. Yeah, I mean, I just looked at it, and I think I had five matches, all 4 stars or better. So to me, you know, and it is a big show, obviously, so that also really helps. But, you know, it's just like, to me, one, two, three, there might have been six. I think there were 6 matches that were higher than 4 stars. So to me, on a, you know, 9-match card, 6 or better than 4 stars, that's like no contest. Number one show. It would be very hard to beat.
Oh, and on commentary, you had Razor Ramon HG? Come on.
Still hanging around.
The stars are out.
So the next category, most underrated. Of course, this usually refers to being under-pushed. Always a little bit of a tricky one. But we have some interesting answers. So Kelly, I'll let you go first.
I went with Chi-Chi. She's really impressed me this year. I feel like every time I see her, she gets just a bit better, and I really think she's benefiting from being under the Sari learning tree. So I would very much like to see her go places in 2026.
My pick, I was a little on the fence about this one. They are getting a high-speed match in just a few days, so I don't know if it applies. Also, they're 36, so I'm like, I think at this point it is what it is. But it sort of refers to the past. I've said it on the show before here. Yuna Mizumori had that amazing run in Choco Pro. Felt like she was really the talk of the town. Went to Stardom and has really done almost like nothing. Like, she's one of, like, three wrestlers in the past 5 years of Stardom who really has done almost nothing at all. And it's really a bummer. You know, I think now at this point she's 36, going to be 37 next year, I think probably on the other side of the career. And, you know, with the rookies and the younger wrestlers in Stardom, I think there's really no path up the card, but always sort of bums me out to know, oh, what could have been after that, you know, great run during the COVID time. So
yeah,
that my pick for most underrated. Next up, most overrated, and this is a one person category, but Kelly has excitedly put two people in. For his picks, I will go first. We have three different people here. I picked one person. I think this was the first category I filled in because it was very obvious to me. Natsuko Tora. Is there any other pick? Obviously, Kelly has two other picks, which are very interesting. I mean, heavily focused on in Stardom, got this whole storyline in Oz Academy, you know, title holder, and just
bad at everything.
Just like no good.
No,
like it's crazy to me that this sort of middling try hard wrestler is year over year, it's like, this is the year we're gonna push her and it's gonna be huge, and it's like, no, stop doing that.
Queen of the person playing a wrestler. They're not a wrestler. They're playing a wrestler.
I mean, has
they're
been
not
the
any good.
Head of Hate/Oedo Tai for many years, and yet has been passed by multiple people in her own faction. I mean, it's like Saya came in and was like, see you later in the dust.
Mm-hmm.
That to me would have been the thing where it's like, oh, it's not the heel stuff holding her back. It's her own thing.
Uh-huh.
Like, Saya came in, was a heel, and blew up huge. Like, Momo had the great five-star Grand Prix. Huge, got people behind her. Also not really a holding back, although I think some people were like, she's going to turn babyface. It just is a nothing. It's like a nothing. How many times can we try? You know, there's so many occasions of this in American wrestling where you're like, why are we still trying with this person? It's not happening. And it just feels like it's not happening.
At least she's not doing the hat on a hat thing anymore, where she's just like, all right, now I have a mask, I have a hat on the mask, now I've got face paint. It's just like, all right, cool, you've settled on what your look is finally.
had the below average Oz show main event, which really is a drawback on her because those matches are usually awesome. And if you've listened to this podcast, you know how I feel. An easy pick for this category.
Yeah. My pick, like Taylor said, I have two. The first is the non-wrestler category, and that goes to Rossy Ogawa. I feel like this year really showed how overrated he was as a promoter for Stardom. Because, boy howdy, he's gotten lapped a whole bunch in terms of the heights that Stardom could reach. And they are eating Marigold's lunch every single day. Marigold isn't shit, And Rossi, he's overrated. I'm sorry. For the wrestler category, I went with you because she's had these Sendai Girls tag titles for quite a while and is retiring soon, and I don't know if she'll actually drop those titles.
We'll have to see. Doesn't lose often. I was looking at some of the results from the past week to put them in the document, and I was like, boy, there is no thought of losing on the way out for this.
Nope.
So, yeah. Two picks there. Rossi Ogawa, a couple years ago when he was still in Stardom, people were trying to say he should go on the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame. I was not one of those people.
Nope.
And I think Marigold has shown that I was correct.
He doesn't have it.
Big help from getting the money machine behind him and really nothing else because he left and the whole thing took off. So,
yep.
there you go. Next category is best flying wrestler. My pick from last year, same pick this year, Starlight Kid, had a good year. A pretty straightforward, easy pick for me.
Yeah, I went with Izumi. Very easy pick. I debated between her and Starlight Kid, but then I kind of looked through my short list of matches that I had set aside for the top 10, and I noticed Izumi was all over that list. So I said, you know what? I think she takes this award then.
The next category, best brawler. My vote. I don't know if it's true that this person is the best brawler, but I sort of have to just salute the desire to keep fighting. So that would be Dash Chisako. Of course, all those hardcore matches she does throughout the year. And I really like Dash, so I wanted to get her on the list. So that was my pick.
I went with Rina Yamashita. Really great brawler, great deathmatch wrestler. Worked a wide variety of places this year, had a bunch of different good matches, and just all around one of my favorite wrestlers on the Joshi scene.
The next category, best technical wrestler. I will let Kelly, you can go first on this one.
My number one, I went with Mei Suruga. I think she has really thrived this year, taking her style in a more technical route, working a lot of limb-based matches and using a lot more holds. And she really impressed me this year, so I went with Mei.
I went with another sort of chalk pick, but I chose Siri. I always like, I think I've done the same thing in the past, but like to get her on these lists because I think she's really good, but doesn't often, or at least in the past few years, hasn't had the sort of standout blow away year, but whenever she's called on to deliver, always does. In the big matches, we'll be having another big match in just a few weeks at Wrestle Kingdom. Sort of an obvious pick, but someone who really didn't have like a top line wrestler of the year case, but I still really like, so very easy to sort of slot them in here as best technical wrestler. Most charismatic. This was one I sort of had to think about. I think Kelly sort of picked the chalk. I think you sort of have the chalk pick.
Oh, absolutely.
I sort of picked another one that was a little bit chalk, but Kelly, I will let you go first.
I had to go with Saya. Like, that's to me the only answer. She took Japan by storm, became a fixture on the various Japanese game/variety shows, got women's wrestling on primetime Japanese TV for the first time in a decade plus. So it had to be Saya.
I think that's a good pick. I went with Sari just because I think she really does have a lot of charisma. I think a lot of that charisma translates into the success of Sariism, which of course is also partially due to she's an amazing wrestler. you know, I think Saya is probably a good answer for a lot of these categories, you know, just trying to switch it up, get some different faces in here. So that's why I picked Sari. Most improved, my vote went to the only Marigold vote that I put in any of these awards, going to Mai Sakurai. I thought that she really turned it on late in the year. You know, obviously still for me, not a top level wrestler, but I think someone who really had some very visible improvements throughout the year in big matches for Marigold. So she was my pick. Kelly, your pick.
I'm actually changing mine to mirror yours. My improved a ton, and I just didn't think of it because in the awards, I didn't think about Marigold at all, if I'm being completely honest. But yeah, she really became a bright spot in that promotion, which is something I never thought I would have said before.
Next up is Feud of the Year. While I'm sitting here, I actually thought of another one. This is always a tricky category for me because there really isn't that many big contenders unless you sort of make things that aren't feuds, quote unquote feuds. It is Feud of the Year. The thing I just thought of was the Marigold and Marvelous battles throughout the year, which I really did like and is probably the classic definition of feud, so probably fits here better. But my initial thought was Sari versus the fans of Stardom when she, quote-unquote, turned heel on Stardom and was getting booed. I just thought that was a lot of fun. That was the first thing I thought of. Not, you know, not really a feud in the technical sense, but just something I really liked. And so that was my pick. Kelly, what was your pick?
I thought about doing the Marvelous Marigold feud, but I don't really feel like it had any kind of satisfying conclusion. So I ended up not going with that. And I really, it took me a while because I don't really think there were any super great feuds this year. So I ended up going, or I should say outside of what I went with. So I went with Saya versus Tom. It really was the big story of the first half of the year, and it did have an incredibly satisfying conclusion.
All right, next we will do our top 10 matches of the year. We'll bounce back and forth, starting with number 10. So, Kelly, I will throw it to you first for your 10th rated match of the year.
Number 10 comes to us from Stardom. It is for the New Japan Strong Women's title, Izumi versus Bozilla, from Stardom Nighter in Kurikin on July 24th. This is like the ideal big versus small match. It was so good and just really showed how much of a ring general that Izumi is. She was tremendous here. And it's not like Bozilla's bad by any means. She's not. She's a very good wrestler, but I feel like she was really elevated in this match. So I had to give this my number 10 spot.
My number 10 spot is from the Tokyo Joshi Max Hart Finals on February 8th. It was Suzume defending her international princess title against Jada Stone. A match I really enjoyed. I thought Jada Stone really had a good year in Tokyo Joshi, as did Suzume. And really just a fun match, a nice number 10 match, you know, maybe not competing with the top level match of the year candidates at the top of this list, but a match I really enjoyed. Kelly, your number 9.
My number 9 is from Sendai Girls, Sendai Girls World Title Match, Chihiro Hashimoto versus Mako Satomura from the top of Joshi Wrestling on March 19th. This, more so than her retirement match, this felt like Mako's last stand. Like, if this had been her retirement match, that would have been perfectly acceptable. They fought with everything they had, and it ended with Hashimoto giving Satomura one of the gnarliest looking power bombs I've ever seen. Just a tremendous match.
My number nine match, also another Tokyo Joshi match. That would be 1-1 million, Maki Ito and Miyu Yamashita against Hyper Masao and Shoko Nakajima at Grand Princess 25 on March 16th. This a great match, kicked off the title reign of Hyper Masao and Shoko Nakajima after they won the tag tournament. Just one of those really exciting, a type of match I really like, which is when a goofy wrestler, in this case Hyper Masao, gets really serious and is a good wrestler. And so really in my wheelhouse, a great match, a really great result to see Masao and Nakajima win the titles. So definitely a big highlight of that show.
Whether I'm worried about hosting or just giving that perfect gift, creating a delicious holiday for my loved ones is super important to me. From effortless holiday hostings to unforgettable gifts, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. They've always been super convenient in giving me the most high-quality steaks I could ask for, whether for myself or a loved one. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com, and for an extra $35 off, use code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM. Go to omahasteaks.com and use code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Kelly, your number 8 match.
Number 8, we're going over to Choco Pro. It's a Super Asia title match, Rina Yamashita versus Mei Tsuruga. From a show called Game Changer on September 5th. This was really a moment where I was like, damn, Choco Pro's back. After being kind of stuck in a rut for almost what felt like 2 years, I feel like Choco Pro is really back. They're putting on interesting shows again. And this was just a fantastic match. Great technical stuff from both of them. Mei was perfect here as the tiny bully, and Rina had to work pretty hard to put her away. I really, really enjoyed this and is easily my favorite Choco Pro match of the year. So I had to put it at number 8. Taylor, what is your 8?
My number 8 is a tag match from All-Star Grand Queendom, Stardom's All-Star Grand Queendom, and that would be Wing Gory versus FWC. FWC obviously has been great in Stardom for a number of years, but a big opportunity for Hanan and Saeeda, and felt like they really stepped up to the plate, had a really exciting, this one of those classic Stardom sort of tag matches that pop out of the card when you don't really expect it. Obviously, 4 great wrestlers here, so a little bit more expected. But a really great match. They're one of the many great matches on All-Star Grand Queendom. Kelly, for number 7, you are cheating, but I will allow you to read your number 7 nonetheless.
My number 7, I have a sub-match because I didn't want there to be 2 matches with the same participants in it on the list. I wanted to give things more variety in my list. So my sub number 7 is Sari versus Siri from Sariism Chapter 7. Incredible match. Loved that match so much. But I will talk more about those 2 later. So my full official number 7 is a Wonder of Stardom title match, Starlight Kid versus Izumi from All-Star Grand Queendom 2025. Yeah, it's exactly what you want out of these 2. Just crazy, going nuts, like it. Picture this match in your head. That's what it is. It was great.
All right. My number seven was the main event, or the technical main event, of Mako Satomura, the final. That would be Manami and Mako Satomura against Aja Kong and Chihiro Hashimoto. That show back on April 29th. A really solid, well-worked in-ring match, but I think brings that extra dimension, as I mentioned when we were talking about show of the year, of the emotions of Mako retiring. And so just a match I really enjoyed from a show I really enjoyed. You know, probably looking at this from a very subjective, from a very objective perspective, probably not in the top 10 in-ring matches, but I think a big part of wrestling is the story, what's going on, even if it's, you know, an in-promotion story or just a general story of life and what's going on. And I think that this match really had that in spades with Satomura's retirement. So knew I had to get this one on the top 10 list. Kelly, your number six.
My number six comes to us from Tokyo Joshi. This was the Tokyo Princess Cup Finals. Miyu Watanabe versus Arisu Endo. This was on August 23rd. I loved this match. It told a great story. It was pretty much Miyu being unstoppable and Arisu refusing to go down. So it was just them slamming into each other over and over until one of them finally fell. And in this case, it was Endo. But what a tremendous, like, just a fantastic story told between these two. And it really showed that Endo can work at that high level and can be a main eventer.
My number six, I am not a coward, so it is not a sub match. It is the number six match, and that would be Sarri versus Shuri from Sarriism Chapter 7 on the 10th of March. Kelly sort of already covered it, and they will have a match that will be talked about later, but pretty much what you would expect from these two of the best wrestlers in the world. At these Sarriism shows, which always seem to deliver in the main event. And this one did as well. So that is my number six. Kelly, your number five.
My number five was from Stardom, the five-star Grand Prix Finals, Momo Watanabe versus Izumi. This was on August 23rd. This was a really cool match because it was two people who very clearly grew up in wrestling under the same learning tree and knew each other so well. And I don't think any other two people could have had this exact match. Like it was like watching sisters or brothers fight, essentially. So Momo and Izumi put on such a cool match here. You had Momo not cheating, wanting to do it by the book and win on her own right. And she did, and it didn't cost her, which is awesome. Something you never see. I feel like half the time when the heels are like, no, don't cheat for me, then they like instantly lose. And that's part of the story. Whereas this one, she's like, no, I'm going to do it. And she did it. So this was a great match. My number five. Taylor, what was your number five?
Well, Kelly's about to explain for the next stretch is about to explain the matches before I get to them. So my number five is the Tokyo Princess Cup final, Miyu Watanabe and Arisu Endo from August 23rd. Kelly already sort of talked about this match, so I repeat what he says. Another great performance again in a Princess Cup final for Miyu Watanabe. Again, really loved the sort of stories for both Miyu and Arisu that they wove through this one, in addition to some great in-ring action. So that is my number five. Kelly, your number four.
My number four comes from Stardom. It was the World of Stardom title / New Japan Strong title match. Saya Kamatani versus Izumi from September 27th. This match got a ton of hype, and it was all worth it. I thought these two went nuts and had a great, just epic match, title versus title. And it's my second favorite Saya match of the year. And that's saying something, because this match was fan-fucking-tastic. Taylor, what is your number four?
My number four is the five-star Grand Prix Finals, Momo Watanabe and Azumi from August 23rd. Kelly already talked about it, but a match I really enjoyed. Obviously been a Momo fan for a while, so happy to see her back in a big spot. Along with Azumi, you know, I have been on the Azumi train since this podcast. I mean, since before the podcast began, but certainly since we started this podcast in the early days, remember being told that, you know, it was, you know, Azumi destined for the mid card, you know, a nice wrestler. I'm like, nope, she's at the top. And so happy to see her even in a losing effort here at the top, and a great match and a great conclusion to that tournament. Now,
Kelly, I feel like the successes of Azumi and Starlight Kid this year are another point. Rossi is a fraud. Cat.
Very well could be. Now, Kelly, we have the exact identical top three. So So the number three match, Miyu Watanabe and Mizuki from Wrestle Princess 6 on September 20th. Obviously a big match for the results, with Miyu winning the title, but two great wrestlers delivering in really one of the big spots in Tokyo Joshi this year.
Mm-hmm. It was so good to see Miyu win the title back, because it really felt, I really felt like she never should have lost it. And so it felt like it helped restore my faith in the company to have her win here. I was very afraid she was going to lose. So I think they made the right choice, and they put on an incredible match in the process.
The number two match, the IWGP Women's title match, Seri and Siri going at it at the Conversion 2025 back on June 21st, 2025. I mean, we sort of covered it with their other match from Sariism. But Kelly, anything to add for this one?
I feel like the Sariism match was their more technical match, and this was the more bomb-throwing match. And I think this just, it goes more to the style I enjoy. I love a technical wrestling, but look, I do want to see people just stand there and hit each other real hard. And these two are two of the best in the business at that, and they put on a classic.
Yeah, and two matches differently styled to where they were happening. Obviously, Sariism happening in a much smaller venue.
Yes.
Than the Conversion. And so I think really satisfied both that, you know, sort of doing these different style matches for different places, but also allowing them to sort of tell two parts of a story, and it not really feel like, oh, this match was well received, let's just do it again. Felt very different. So that, the number two match. And then the number one match for both of us, Saya Kamatani versus Tom Nakano from All-Star Grand Queendom 2025 on April 27th. I mean, Kelly, when I talked about before, you know, sort of looking back in 5 years on 20, you know, in 2030, looking back on 2025, I think that this match, this story of the Tom retirement, of the sort of rise of Saya Kamatani, all in this match, will be the story of 2025. And this is the match of the story.
Yes, and I really feel like the final visual of them sitting on the stage, kind of looking up at the fans, and then everything going black, that'll stay with me a very long time, because it was just such a cool finish. Like, that was the, we're making movies in wrestling, that worked. That was what WWE and their fans think they're doing every time, when really it's like, oh, wrestling can be this, and it can be good. So I will remember this match for quite a while. It's one of those that stuck with me, and I've really thought about it more throughout the year, and my thoughts of it have just improved. I didn't think it was bad. Obviously, I thought it was tremendous when it happened, but now it's been growing in my estimation to where originally I had it. I went 4.75. I think retroactively I would change that to 5 now. And also I had Sorry versus Siri ahead of it at one point, and I think, again, I would easily swap those as I did here. I think Saya versus Tom will be a match that you can go back to and get a lot out of in the coming years.
All right, so that is match of the year. We will wrap up with a couple more individual awards. The first one, best promotion. I think some of these sort of self-explanatory, so this one might be a little quicker. Kelly, your number 3 promotion of the year.
Sendai Girls. I thought they had, I don't want to say a resurgence this year, but just it felt like they were a player this year, and I don't think they've felt that way in quite a while. So I was very happy with their output this year. Booking still needs some work, but, you know, what can you do? When you sign a pact with the devil that says you got to make Mika Iwata lose all the time, you got to make Mika Iwata lose all the time. But other than that, I thought they had a great year.
My third was also Sendai Girls. I think getting on Wrestle Universe was such a big part of that. Just feels to me like a lot of these Joshi companies, you know, there are ways to see them. You know, you can go on, you know, and get the Seedling Live videos for $25 each. It just feels to me that just getting the ability, obviously, to see it, you got to subscribe to Wrestle Universe. But having some ease and having some way to be like, hey, we've got someone out there going, we've got a show, come watch the show. You know, at least to me, you know, part of the Western audience, certainly makes it feel like they've got some wind in their sails and they've got something going on, as opposed to these companies who are like, hey, do you want to spend $100 a month to follow this company? You know, I think Sendai Girls already sort of has the advantage because they've always sort of been on that like second tier level. They sort of went away. You know, they had the streaming. They were on IWTV, I mean, quote unquote. And it feels like between that and, of course, the Mako retirement stuff, just felt like a big year for them. So a solid number 3 pick, I thought. My number 2 pick, I voted for Tokyo Joshi. I sort of already talked about it. I think they did a lot right. They have some signs that they've started heading in a direction that's going to be helpful to their drawing numbers. You know, nothing blow away at the moment, but I think, you know, sort of pulling back on the Korakins. They're still doing a number of Korakins, but not as many as they were doing. So it feels like those are drawing a little better. It feels like Miyu Watanabe is picking up some steam. Feels like they've got some good balls in the air with the Endo and Suzume stuff. They've got a strong crop of rookies. So it just feels like positive. Again, 2026, it could totally turn and go belly up. You know, not that it's going to close, but sort of that momentum could stall out. But I thought they were a solid number 2 pick. Kelly, your interesting number 2 pick.
My number 2 pick goes to produce shows. I really love wrestler-specific produce shows, and I think they kind of keep my interest alive at times when certain companies are just not running a lot or it's just kind of feeling stale. And I was going through my list of like 4-star plus matches, and I had a bunch of different produce shows in there. And especially with Joshi stuff on them. Like the Barb Sasaki Produce Crazy Fest had some good Joshi stuff. Mayu Yukihi ran a produce show in February I really enjoyed. El Desperado had Joshi on his Death Pain Invitational. Sariism, of course. And Unagi's still doing her stuff. Like, it's just, I really enjoy watching specific wrestlers and seeing what their vision of wrestling is. I think that's really fun, and I hope we see a lot more of that this coming year.
And the number 1, an obvious pick, we've already sort of talked about it here, so not too much more to say, but the number 1 pick for me, Stardom, the number 1 pick for Kelly.
Yeah, Stardom.
Stardom as well. As we've already said, the big year for them makes them an obvious. I mean, it's really like they're number one, but I think they would also probably be number one, number two, and number three.
Yeah, realistically.
If it were a real ranking. But a really great year for them, and hopefully they can continue that momentum into 2026. All right, tag team of the year. We've interestingly got six different tag teams, which I think is very fun. Usually never happens that we have totally different lists, but Kelly, I'll let you start first with your number three tag team of the year.
My number three is Natsupoi and Sayori Ano. Aside from, again, their Produce show, I forgot to mention that in the last thing, I don't feel like they had really like a big, big match this year in terms of their tag team, but every time they're out there, they're gonna perform at a high level and you're gonna have a great time watching their stuff.
Yeah, my number three, I think, was a similar one. I did FWC, not a top year for them, but I think that they're another team that they're going to go out there, and you know that when they're out there tagging, it's going to be, at the very least, an enjoyable match. So got them on the list at number three. Kelly, you're number two.
My number two is Bob Momo Banana, Yuriko Oka and Mio Momono. Love those two little maniacs. They're so much fun to watch. And yeah, and that's kind of it. Like, they're just one of my favorite teams to watch in wrestling at the moment. Like, they just put on such a great show and they look like they're enjoying themselves so much, and just that energy is infectious.
My number two is Wingori Hanan and Saya Ida. Thought it was a great year for them. Sort of a little bit of a breakout year for both of them in this tag team, having great matches. As I said, got a match on my top 10 of the year. So thought it was a really good year for them, and hopefully it can be an even better year next year for them, either teaming together or individually, because I think they're both super talented. Kelly, your number one tag team.
My number one is Red Energy, Miki Iwata and Miyuki Takase. I really like this team. I think they do great work. I feel like they're always getting chopped off at the knees because Miki Iwata is Miki Iwata and she can't win things. So I feel like they're never being used to their full potential. But boy, do they go out there and try their damnedest and have some great matches.
And then our final two categories, I don't think these ones require too much explanation. We've sort of talked about these, most of these people, or all of these people who are on these lists already. But first, we will go through most outstanding. Kelly, give all three of your most outstanding here.
My number three is Miyu Watanabe. My number two is Saya Kamatani and Izumi. I had them share it because I think Saya is the bigger wrestler overall, but I think Izumi had a better in-ring year. And then number one, Sari, because, of course, it's Sari. She's the best in the world.
My three were Sari was also on my list. Miyu Watanabe, who had a really great year, and then Saya Kamatani was my number one. And very similarly in the Flair Thez, which combines wrestling and drawing and everything. Kelly, your three.
I went Mako Satomura. I thought she had a really great year before her retirement. And I think she, just from a business perspective, drove business for Sendai Girls. And I assume now she's part of the booking committee again. I actually don't know that for a fact, but I would say her first part of the year was so strong that I would put her in that for drawing. Sari, such a damn good wrestler and is a proven draw, is easily the top freelance Joshi wrestler at the moment. And then number one, Saya. I talked about this before. She brought Joshi wrestling back to Japanese TV, primetime Japanese TV. So it's like, that's hard to ignore.
My three were, number three was Miyu Watanabe. I think I talked about the sort of signs of drawing that she's been giving. I think Mako also, I didn't even really think about Mako, but also a good choice. Number two, Sari, Between the in-ring stuff, the drawing stuff, doing the Sarri-ism, stuff has a very strong case. And then the obvious number one, as Kelly just said, Saya Kamatani. Another category where I think Saya Kamatani could probably be one, two, and three. And you wouldn't have too much argument. But that is all the awards for 2025. We will
We
have our final award, of course. How could I forget, Kelly?
It is the long-awaited award. Everyone's excited. Everyone waits for this one every year. It is the 69th annual Rossi Ogawa Memorial Award for Coolest Boobs. This year, I actually received a letter from Rossi announcing the winner. So I will read that now. It starts, "Dear esteemed Boobluminati. There it is. Boobluminati. That's what he was going for. I like it, Rossi. Council members. Another year has passed, and it is time once again to determine which boobs are the coolest of all. It brings me great pride to stand as head of this board. The work we do is absolutely necessary in these difficult and unprecedented times. This year's winner is the light in these dark times. They are what gets me out of bed in the morning." And then the letter is just 5 pages of the letter B, like he fell asleep on the keyboard, as he's wont to do. The B's stop, and then just an entirely new letter starts up. It reads, "Dear esteemed fellow mask collector, good day, friend. I'm writing to inquire if you might have any masks available in your collection that you would be willing to part with. I have several sums of money I could give you if you want to sell. If you would prefer a trade, I have many Tiger Mask style masks that have all been worn by sweating women. Please let me know if that would be of interest to you. Thank you for your attention on this matter. Truly yours, Rossi Ogawa." And that's it. So I don't actually have a winner. He forgot about that part and thought it was a different letter he was writing. So I guess I'll go chalk. Your award winner is Hoshi Tango.
Is Hoshi Tango still wrestling?
I think he is.
Let's see.
If he's not, I've got a follow up.
Okay, let's look at the matches. I guess so. Wrestled on October 26th of this year.
Still active. Hoshi Tango, your winner for coolest boobs.
Oh yeah, wrestled in Chaco Pro in October.
Tremendous.
There you go. All right, undefeated, right, in the award? Isn't that
yeah.
true?
Yeah. And if you want any Tiger Mask style masks that have been worn by sweating women, get in contact with Rossi.
All right, so we will briefly talk about what went on in the last 2 weeks of Joshi and then preview some upcoming shows. Stardom had a few shows. They had a Corican Hall show on the 8th. The Hate Trio retaining the Artists of Stardom titles. Sai Ida defeating Ami Sorei to become the number one contender for the Wonder of Stardom title. And then on the 18th, as part of the U Retirement Road, there was a Cosmic Angels Team 200 Kilogram show where Team 200 Kilogram defeated Natsupoi and Sariano. It says, I will not go out on my back. I will beat everyone on the way out. So that also happened. Marigold on the 10th of December had a twin star title match, Darkness Revolution. Chiaki and Misa Matsui defeating Chika Goto and Minami Yuki. Diana had a show on the 14th of December. Kyoko Inoue retaining the Queen Elizabeth title and Haruka Umasaki retaining the Diana World title over Debbie Keitel. But what is coming up in the next 2 weeks? A lot of big shows. On the 24th, Stardom has their final Korakuen before Dream Queendom, mostly preview matches for Dream Queendom, but also Mei Sierra will defend her high speed title against Yuna Mizumori. They will then have New Blood 27th on Christmas Day, the 25th of December, And then on the 29th, Dream Queendom 2025, the matches announced for that. So far, Hazuki will take on Fuachan in a singles match. Natsuko Tora and Ruwaka will defend their tag titles against Sakurara, Aya Sakura, and Sayaka Kurara.
Yay!
Natsupoi will face Seri in a singles match. Konami will defend the Wonder of Stardom title against, as previously mentioned, Sayada. And Saya Kamatani will defend the World of Stardom title against Sayori Ano. So that is Stardom. Then, of course, on the 4th of January at Wrestle Kingdom, it will be Siri versus Saya Kamatani in a double title match for the IWGP Women's and New Japan Strong titles, both of those on the line.
So do you think Saya is losing to Siari?
I mean, I think she could win and have all three. I think
they're going to use this opportunity to just fully merge the IWGP and the Strong title.
So it is possible she loses and then they just go, okay, this is now one title.
Yeah, because she doesn't need.
She doesn't need it.
The title. So I think you could have her lose and then beat Siri.
You could have her lose and then beat what?
You have her lose to Siri and then you have Saya beat Siri at Wrestle Kingdom.
Ah. Okay, I see.
Because the match at Dream Queendom is only for the one title.
Have her lose to Sayori.
Yes.
And then
beat sorry.
Siri. I was like, these are very close. I was like, what are you saying? Or it could be the other way around.
Yeah.
That she keeps the title and then
Yeah.
Could be, but I think these titles are going together because New Japan Strong is even a thing anymore?
I don't believe so.
Seedling also has a show coming up on December 26th. That one is main evented by Natsu Samira and Mio Shirai versus Honori Hana and Unagi Saika for the tag titles. Mirai will be on that show. We'll face off against Celine Mizora. And there will be a high-speed elimination match featuring, of course, Kelly's two favorites, La Pedida and Ka Kedida, but also Mei Suruga, Yuri, Ikido Hidaka, Coco, and Sugi. So
Coco and Sugi are so just the most comparable wrestlers, like in terms of just indie scummerness. Like, I kind of love that. They should be a tag team.
Oz has a Korakuen Hall show on December 30th that will feature Hiroya Matsumoto and Zones versus Mika Iwata and Miyuki Takase for the tag titles. That will also feature Natsuko Tora and Ruwaka against Sayori Ano and Mayumi Ozaki. This is the part of the continuing story of Oz trying to get their title belts back after they were not returned after the Oz big show. So that match, part of that storyline. Tokyo Joshi, of course, on the 4th has their big January 4th show. That match, a lot of fun things will go in the top four. Yuka Sakazaki returns to team with Mizuki and Yuki Arai to take on Max the Impaler, Raku, and Pom Harajuku. The International Princess title match will see Ariso Endo defending against the returning Mirai in what I think will be a fascinating match to watch.
I feel like that is a match booked for you. Like, they did that just for you.
I'm excited. I have been saying I didn't think she would go back, and here she is. Mirai officially signing with Michinoku Pro. So I'm assuming we'll be doing a lot of this freelance Joshi stuff, but exciting to see her back in Tokyo Joshi. here in this big title match. So really looking forward to that.
That is such a crazy jump. Marigold to Michinoku Pro. That is insane.
Just jumping down the ladder.
I don't know if it is down the ladder anymore.
Well, from Stardom, it certainly is. Yes. Seeing as that's where she was a year and a half ago.
Like, that says so much about Marigold.
The Princess Tag titles will be on the line. Ober Eats, Yuki Kamifuku, and Wakana Uehara will defend against Yuki Aino and Haru Kazushiro. And Miyu Watanabe will defend the Princess of Princess title against Suzume. So a super interesting top of the card there. J-Rod will also be back in a tag team match early on the show. The two new rookies will be debuting in the opening match. It will be Uta Takami and Onri. I think that's how you say that. Versus Ren Kanatsu and Shion. So two more rookies already coming in. It feels like Ren started like 2 days ago. but here we are. So a super interesting card. Those January 4th shows, always a lot of fun for Tokyo Joshi. So looking forward to that. Sendai Girls will have Team 200 Kilogram defending the tag titles against Baba Momo Banana. Is this the moment when you gives up these titles?
I want to say yes, but also I don't think so.
we will have to see. Ice Ribbon has their yearly December 31st show at Korakuen. That will be headlined by Manami Kanatsu and Kahu Matsushita for the Ice Infinity title. And then Wave has a bunch of retirements coming up. Yuki Miyazaki retiring. Risa Serra retiring. So it's the end of the year. Some people saying farewell. Kelly, what is coming up in Choco Pro?
On the 30th, Choco Pro is running their 496th show. Top two on that one, you're going to have in the semi-main the Asia Dream tag titles, Mia Soy, Mia Yatsuba, and Soy defending the tag titles against Egg Tarts, Chie Koshikawa, and Hagane Shino. And then in the main event, Super Asia title match, Rina Yamashita defends against Emi Sakura.
All right, so that is everything we have. Kelly, I throw it over to you for the final Kelly's Corner of the year.
Final Kelly's Corner, big pressure. Just, I really need to deliver, and you know what? I think I'm going to say this. I hope everyone out there has a great holiday season. I hope you can enjoy it with your loved ones, whether they be family or friends or both. Go have an eggnog, have a hot cocoa, do something fun. Thank you for listening to us for another year. And I hope you join us next year too. And Taylor, thank you for doing the show with me for another year. Let's run it back again next year.
Kelly stealing my thunder there as I was had the whole thing prepared after Kelly's Corner. Yes, I was going to say, as we come to the end of another year, thank you to everyone for listening. We really appreciate it. As we approach our 150th episode and our 6-year anniversary, sort of hard to believe.
Yeah.
That, those numbers are what they are, as there were times early on when I certainly thought that we might not make it 1 year. We might not make it 2 years. Here we are, 6 years, 150 episodes. So thank you to everyone for listening. Kelly, thanks to you, the person who jumped on this already moving train and really saved it from ending, because when Aaron originally left, I was heavily considering ending the show because I didn't know who to do it with. And I asked you on a whim because I thought you were an interesting person, as the last however many years has proven. And I've been happy to do the show with you and very grateful for everyone's kind messages about the show.
Yes.
But we will be back in the new year in January to talk more Joshi. So until then, enjoy the holiday season, and we will talk to you again very soon.
Talk to you next year, everybody. Bye.
Hi, I'm Andrew Rich. And if you're like me, you look at the state of modern wrestling discourse and think, wow, what a cesspool. That's why I'm here to tell you about Music of the Mat Remix. That's right, your favorite wrestling music podcast is back with a new format, where I bring on a guest and we play songs related to wrestling-themed topics. It could be a wrestling reference, a wrestling concept, a wrestling pun, things of that nature. Now you might be saying, Andrew, that is a very, very tenuous connection to pro wrestling on a wrestling podcast network. Is this just an excuse to hang out with your friends and talk about music and ignore the rest of the wrestling landscape? Yes. Yes, it is. So listen to Music of the Mat Remix on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, available on Apple, Spotify, or your podcast player of choice.
Hello, do you like New Japan Pro Wrestling? Are you a Shin Nihon freak? If so, check out the Super J-Cast with Joel and Damon on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
And even if you fucking hate New Japan Pro Wrestling, listen to the Super J-Cast anyway. Not just for our great show reviews, analysis, and pastrami sandwiches, but there's also usually some dick jokes somewhere in the obligatory opening 30 minutes of absolute nonsense we chat about every single week. That's the Super J-Cast for all the best talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling, crisps, and pornography.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Looking for something new? Try fencing, the Olympic and Paralympic sport that mixes speed, strategy, and fun. It's like chess meets cardio. Quick feet, quick decisions, and a satisfying beep when you score a point. Kids, teens, and adults can start anytime. No experience needed, and many clubs have loaner gear. Coaches teach fundamentals and safety from day one. Find a beginner class near you at usafencing.org/tryfencing. That's usafencing.org/tryfencing.